So, guys, you know, I wasn't here for some of the off seasons in the 60s, but as far as I know, this has to be one of the most surreal off seasons we've ever had. All a lot of transition, both good and bad. The question is this team ready to play football?
Well, they have to be, first of all. That's what Bill Belichick would say. They have a game this week, so it doesn't matter whether they think they're ready. They have to be ready to play, but you're right. All along the way, every story could have been the biggest story of any offseason. Wes Welker, your leading receiver, leaves. Okay, that's the biggest story. Then Gronkowski, injury after surgery after surgery. That's your biggest story. Then obviously the Hernandez situation. That's your biggest story. You signed Tebow. That's your biggest. Every one along the way should have been the biggest story, but you had all of them.
Right. So what we're left with is no Tebow and a young receiving core with Tom Brady, who, by the way, had himself a good offseason.
Well, I think that one of the things you saw from Brady, I think, was a little bit more involved in the process. And I think he knew he had to do that with all the transition. And with those three rookie receivers, I think you've seen that on the practice field. I think they were a little bit more in step than what we've seen with some of the newcomers in the past. Danny Amendola, who's not a rookie but a newcomer, it looks seamless for him. So I give Tom a lot of credit. I think he recognized that this was a little bit of a different offseason. I think he was more actively involved in it, probably both here and in California, and it showed during the training camp.
And if you remember, he said he was being more patient and he didn't want to be known as just the cranky old guy who just kept yelling at them. He knew he needed these young guys. You know, it's a little different. He didn't have Welker to fall back on or some of these other guys. He needed the young guys, and I think he did treat it a little differently as he tried to get them into the offense.
So those questions about how they actually do will be answered shortly, coming up here in Buffalo. Moving over to the offensive line, this time last year I was worried about the health of the offensive line. This year they seem to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, really, it's four guys that you pretty much know about. Dan Conley still working his way back a little bit, had an offseason shoulder injury, but he was back out there. He got some good reps in the last couple of games, so I'm a little bit less concerned about that. And talking to Logan Mankins a little bit, the five guys being together, that comfort, I think, with knowing who's next to you. And I think I would even add Marcus Cannon into that mix because he looks like he's sort of established himself as a guy who can play both guard and tackle. I think they're pretty comfortable with those six guys. Where the backups fall, Will Svitek and some of these other guys will find out. But I think this is probably as good as Dante Scarnecchia has felt going into a season probably in a couple of years.
Another question we've been talking about going into the season is, what will the role of the running game be? Will it be more of the offense? Will they move away from the two tight end offense? We don't know when Gronk's going to be back yet. We do know he's going to be back, but not when. And then Shane Vereen, how does he factor in? My opinion is, if Shane Vereen becomes the type of football player I think he can be, I think he changes this offense.
Well, he certainly does. And we've already seen examples of that throughout the summer, whether it's two-back sets where they're split in the backfield, him out wide catching passes down the field. We saw a little bit of that at the end of last year. We saw it in this preseason. But you're right, the running game, with all the questions in the passing game and the receivers and the tight ends and the changes there, the running game could be, early on at least, sort of the focal point of the offense, working off of that. Basically the exact opposite of what we've seen in recent years, where it was the passing game first, run when you can off the passing game. You have the offensive line, you have Ridley coming off a 1,200-yard season, and you're right. I think all three of us think Shane Vereen can be a dynamic playmaker if he can stay healthy and if he can live up to his potential.
And I still think Ridley's your number one back.
Sure.
Yeah, but I think Vereen potentially can be more than just that third down change of pace back.
Yeah, and we've talked about it. And listen, I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame yet, but you know, you have guys like Marshall Faulk, Roger Craig that could run the ball from scrimmage and catch the ball. I think he does things like that at extremely high levels, and I think especially as a receiver. I think you see him running routes down the sideline, and he talked about him being split out wide. Some of the double moves that we've seen, some real routes that we've seen, he makes some difficult catches look easy. He's a guy I think that Brady can really victimize linebackers with, because I think that his ability as a receiver is really at a high level in terms of running backs. He's an exceptional pass catcher as a running back, and I think they can take advantage of those skills.
So if the Patriots offense does indeed have to have a little time to transition, that means the defense has to step up. Are they ready to step up, improve, especially when it comes to defending the pass?
I think the starters are ready to step up. I have some serious concerns about the depth on defense. The defensive line, to me, has questions of depth. The secondary has questions about depth. The linebackers, you don't have a lot of great backups. But you look at Chandler Jones, Dont'a Hightower, heading into their second seasons. We've all talked about Chandler Jones maybe taking that big year two jump. We saw J.J. Watt do it last year, Jason Pierre-Paul a couple years ago. There are some guys that, in recent memory, have gone from good rookies to great second-year players off the edge. And Jones has had a very good summer. He's been coming. He had the forced fumble. He's been had a few sacks coming off the edge. He's also kind of worked with Tommy Kelly, the newcomer, coming up the middle. So I'm intrigued by what this defense can be as a playmaking unit. I'm not ready to say you know, 2000 Ravens. We're going to be stout. Nobody will score. Nobody will move. But as a playmaking unit, make life tough on quarterbacks, I think they have potential.
Yeah, Andy brought up Tommy Kelly. I think he's a guy that's really been impressive during the summer, doing exactly what Andy said. A guy that I'm really looking at is Aqib Talib. I think that he has the ability in that secondary to give him a guy they haven't had since Samuel. And, you know, last year he got here, he did some things, but he got hurt a little bit. He was sort of in and out and trying to pick things up on the fly. I think with a whole offseason under his belt, I think that he allows them to do some different things up front. And I'm really curious to see how Bill Belichick, Matt Patricia, and all those guys see how that unfolds, you know, with a guy that maybe you can lock up on the outside the way they did last year at times and maybe dial up some blitzes. But I think Talib is a very important piece of that puzzle.
I agree, and I like what I hear about Talib off the field. He's showing that leadership, which I think, you know, besides McCourty, who is, you know, a great Patriot, I think they need that leadership back there. We've seen so much transition in the secondary over the last 4 years, and a lot of it is I just think there were guys that weren't willing to be coached or just weren't good locker room people. I think Bill Belichick has been trying to get the right mix of guys back there. And like you said, finally you have Talib here for a whole offseason. You know, McCourty seems to be stabilized at that safety position. You know, so I think
that's half the secondary, though. The other half is sort of a question.
Now, that's where Andy's depth problems come in,
too. We don't know the future of Dennard. What's going to happen? He's got some off-field issues he's got to deal with. So, you know, you might have to plan on not having him for at least a few games, right?
And Steve Gregory is the starter at safety, but they had brought in Adrian Wilson. He lands on IR. Daron Harmon, Tavon Wilson. I know a lot of fans have been very critical of what Gregory was last year, kind of wanted to replace him, but he's back in the starting role, it looks like, at least to start the year. So there are some questions in the secondary other than McCourty and Talib seem solidified in the safety and corner role on that side.
All right, well, preseason game five. I mean, the Bills come up on Sunday. We'll see if it all comes together.
Bill Belichick often talks about the unknowns that come with the start of a new season. And one of the biggest ones I have for this Patriots team is that kick returner. I have no idea who's going to return kicks right now. Leon Washington not on the roster at the moment. That leaves a lot of options. I think Josh Boyce is one. He's very fast. Obviously, the speedy receiver from TCU has the most speed on the team. He's done that a lot during camp. He had some chances in the preseason. He's an option. And one other one that I'm really intrigued by, LeGarrette Blount. We saw him back there. He has to be the biggest kick returner I've ever seen. Belichick said he couldn't remember one any bigger. Be very interesting to see if they put a running back of that style back deep to return kicks. But right now, who knows? Immediately after the Patriots made their initial cuts, they went right to the waiver wire and picked up four players. Initially, this concerned me because teams as good as the Patriots generally don't scour the waiver wire for reinforcements. But when I looked at the positions they targeted, it made a little bit more sense. They're very thin in the backups, both on the offensive and defensive lines. That's where they went. Makes a little bit more sense now. Wills Vitek battling some injuries. Marcus Cannon battling some injuries. They needed some help there. Tommy Kelly and Vince Wilfork are really the only known commodities at defensive tackle. So even though these guys came from the waiver wire, they could still provide depth. One of the players I've been impressed with so far is Logan Ryan, and here's why. The third-round pick out of Rutgers really struggled at the start of camp, but I thought as the days and weeks progressed, he got better. We've seen his versatility. He can play inside. He can play outside. Reminds me a little bit of Kyle Arrington in that way. He's very competitive in both, a little bit undersized. He'll come up and play the run. Really a complete corner. I like a lot of different things that this guy can do. And by the way, the Patriots are probably going to need him because they're pretty thin at cornerback.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
You like to wear winter hats year-round. Well, what's that all about?
Morning Meeting is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly.
Images of the Week this week are actually pictures of training camp. I picked a few that I thought kind of represented some of the more memorable moments. Signing autographs is always a big deal at training camp, and here's the head coach doing just that. Here's Kembrel Tompkins and Alphonso Dennard going up for a ball. Newcomer Zach Sudfeld has everyone wondering, can he be the next great tight end?
Finally, Teddy Bruschi got inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame. Here he is addressing the team before one of their practices.
Player Perspective is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Joining me in the Patriots locker room now is Chandler Jones, Patriots second-year defensive end, and heading into the first game in Buffalo. What's your excitement level right now, Chandler?
I have to be honest with you, I'm excited just to be out here with my teammates, you know, going into year two, you know, personally for me. But just being out here, you know, and just playing football game, you know. We went through the preseason and we kind of, we bonded a little bit. We, you know, created a brotherhood, and just being next to guys that you're not used to playing with, you know. You're starting to get familiar with them, and I'm just excited to go out there with them.
Now that you have a full NFL offseason under your belt, take us through a little bit what you did this offseason to prepare yourself for your second NFL season based on some of the things you learned last year as a rookie.
Just being better, you know, not just the physical point of the game, but just the mental point of the game, and just being out there and just starting to recognize certain plays faster, you know. It's only my second year in the league, but I feel, you know, I feel a little bit more confident, and I have more experience, you know, coming into my second year. So I'm excited. I'm excited to go out there and perform and try to do everything to help this team win.
As you've broken down the tape this week, looking at some of the weapons they have, obviously you're going to be facing a rookie quarterback in E.J. Manuel, but they have some playmakers. Obviously, C.J. Spiller is a dynamic running back. They have the receiver. What are you seeing from that offense as you prepare for it?
Yeah, Buffalo does a good job of getting, you know, getting the balls in those guys' hands, those Stevie Johnson and C.J. Spiller and E.J. Manuel. He's been doing a good job, and it's just our job. It's just our job to contain those guys, you know. Just, you know, setting the edge on the defense, and, you know, and just not letting them, you know, create big plays, which they all have, you know, the respect to do.
Okay, now I have to ask you, this is a question that's been fed to me by one of our producers. You like to wear winter hats year-round, even though sometimes it's 90 degrees and humid. What's that all about?
I always wear winter hats. I don't know why. It's just. I guess it's my style, a little bit swag.
Do you do it at home? I mean, is this like year-round, all day?
I play games in my winter hat. I got one in my locker over there, actually. I might have to throw it on for you guys.
Do you have to turn the heat up in your house, too? Is your life get warm?
Or? Actually, I turn the AC up. Yeah,
so it's AC it. With a winter hat on.
Winter hat.
Okay.
It's week one, it's from the heart, and it's the Bills. And if we're talking about the Bills, it means there's going to be a rookie quarterback on the field. So I figured let's look back at last year and the Patriots' success against rookie passers. It started with Russell Wilson, didn't go all that well. We know the Patriots lost in Seattle. He had a 133.7 passer rating, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. But it got better from there. The Patriots had a lot of success against Andrew Luck. He was 27 of 50. But 3 interceptions, 63 passer rating, and twice they played against Ryan Tannehill and the Dolphins. Both times Tannehill had a passer rating in the 60s. So what do we know? We know the Patriots will probably have good success against a rookie quarterback Sunday afternoon in Buffalo. While we're at it, we're talking Bills, and guess what? One of the Bills is talking poo about the Patriots. Stevie Johnson, no question, a talented playmaker, but he gets himself in trouble with his immaturity. And this week he did it by saying, quote, "I don't think they got nobody that can stop me, for real." First of all, he offended all of New England's English teachers, and he also offended the Patriots' secondary. He also went on to say he had a lot of respect for Patrick Chung. The only problem is Patrick Chung doesn't play for the Patriots anymore. He's with the Eagles. Look for the Patriots' secondary to announce itself in Stevie Johnson's mug Sunday afternoon. Talking about the Bills and the Patriots team will face them on Sunday, it's a young football team. Heading into preparations this week, Bill Belichick's team had 14 rookies on the roster, 7 undrafted free agents, by far the most rookies that Belichick has had on his roster in the last 10 years. Most before this was 11, so that's 3 more. And the average over the last decade was 7.5 rookies, 14 this year, twice as many as we normally see. Did they want to get younger? No, Bill Belichick said. We want to win football games, and we kept the players that'll help us do that.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
One of them will do something stupid and bring him in. I guarantee you he will be on an NFL roster this year.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL, brought to you by Nissan.
Like most ex-NFL players that can walk and talk, Ray Lewis has matriculated to ESPN. Yep, he's going to be one of their analysts for this season, but I'm not sure the boys in Bristol know what they're getting. Just recently, Ray Lewis was recorded saying that he believes that the electrical failure during the Super Bowl was on purpose, a way to give the 49ers a chance to get back in the game. And I really think he believes it. That's dangerous. I mean, what could he possibly say week in and week out on ESPN with that type of mindset? I mean, should we have a segment that says, what did Ray just say? Better yet, let's sit him across from Mike Ditka. The two of them could debate in gibberish every week.
Every year, the NFL has at least one team that comes out of nowhere and wins a lot more games than any of us think they're going to. And I'm going to give you the pick right now. The Carolina Panthers. I think they're poised to make a jump. And the reason is defense. Right in the middle, linebacker Luke Kuechly, Boston College guy. He is the key to that defense. He's also got a couple of very solid veterans around him in Thomas Davis and John Beeson. I think that linebacker core is very good, very underrated. I think the Panthers defense leads this team. And it all depends on one guy on the other side, and that's Cam Newton. If he can mature and improve, the Panthers will be in the playoffs.
In less than a week, the Patriots will play the Jets. Or why don't we call them the anti-Patriots? You see, the Patriots have Tom Brady, a great, consistent franchise quarterback. The Jets have a debacle at the position, whether it's the old debacle, Mark Sanchez, or the new debacle, Geno Smith. Head coach, Rex Ryan is turning his back on press conferences and leaving on cut day. Bill Belichick, always here, always getting the job done. And ownership, Woody Johnson, don't know what you're doing. Started with Tim Tebow, who knows where you are now. And Robert Kraft for the Patriots, always calm, consistent, and leading the ship. It's the Patriots versus the anti-Patriots, 1 week.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
An awful lot of Tim Tebow talk here in New England this season, but Andy Hart, will we see him again in the NFL this year?
Tim Tebow time is over in the NFL, and thankfully, we won't have to deal with the story anymore, except people like us speculating, could he come back? He was horrific this summer, and this spring, no one wanted him. People forget that. The Jets released him, and he sat out there for a month and a half before the Patriots picked him up. And then the Patriots release him, and he's so good, no one claimed him off waivers. I know there's not enough quarterbacks to go around in the NFL, but he's not a quarterback, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I agree that he was terrible during the summer. I mean, you can't get around that. He was the last-rated quarterback in the preseason out of everybody. But injuries happen, and you already look what happened. You mentioned the Jets already, Andy. I mean, the Jets have had 16 quarterbacks on their roster already. Why not one more?
Because he's a fullback, not a quarterback.
I wouldn't be stunned if he comes back. And you know what? Maybe it won't be as a quarterback. Who knows? But I don't think we've seen the last of him in the league.
I don't think anyone wants to deal with the circus. And I know everybody pretends there was no circus here in New England.
No, but
there was
a circus.
He talked every other day, it seemed like. I read stories about their cut down to 75, and it's Tim Tebow, not among Patriots, cuts to 75. That's really the story from the AP? I mean, he was a circus here. It wasn't as bad as New York because, well, New York's just more dysfunctional. But I don't think other teams want to bring that in, and he doesn't have a long-term future. If you bring in a quarterback, don't you want him to be able to potentially develop into something? Even if he's just a stopgap measure. He stinks.
Yeah,
he can't throw.
Listen, I'm not sure he'll ever be. Matter of fact, you know what? I am sure. He's never going to be a great quarterback.
Then why would
a
team bring him in?
But you can bring him in as a strong character guy in the locker
room. So you can change your whole offense.
No. You can figure out.
Got to put him in the pistol, run the option.
Something else to do with him as a change of pace. Maybe, not unlike you do with a part-time running back.
When do we stop bending over backwards to get Tim Tebow a job in the NFL?
I'm not sitting here on my high horse saying the league owes anything to Tim Tebow or he's being treated unfairly.
He's had his chances.
He had opportunities. He didn't make the team. No one's going to cry for Tim Tebow.
So then why do we need to give him another chance?
I just think that somebody else will give him another chance. Everybody gets multiple chances. Why not Tim Tebow?
He's
a guy who's had success at the
Denver,
college level.
New York, New England.
And he's still trying to get some success at the professional level. I don't think it's over.
He's a sub-50% passer. That doesn't work in the NFL.
If you're going
to
ask him to be a pocket passer, it's not going to work.
You can't even bring him in for a week or two. Say you just need to cover up for an injury for a week or two. Well, you'd have to change your whole offense because he can't run an NFL offense. We've proven that over the years, right?
Listen, I'm not arguing with you.
So it makes no sense.
I am not
so you're
arguing
just saying
with
there
you
are a lot of dumb
ability.
Teams out there.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
There's about 25 of them. One of them will do something stupid and bring him in. I guarantee you he will be on an NFL roster this year.
Okay, as long as there's no positive reason behind the line of thinking.
No, 47% completion rate. I mean, that says it all.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Nissan. Choose Nissan today for great offers on our most innovative lineup ever. Shop at ChooseNissan.com. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and react. Brought to you in part by Yokohama. Now through October 13th, buy a set of four Yokohama tires and receive a $100 Patriots Pro Shop gift card free. Details in store. Yokohama. Technology drives better tires.
All right, another season of PFW and another season of your questions at AskPFW at Patriots.com. You guys ready?
We're ready.
And by the way, next week, when does the Wilson Heart Index?
After 4 weeks.
I heard you have a little twist this year.
He's going to try to pick the best team, number one?
Well, I was going to say he's going to be accurate this year.
Oh, it always has been accurate.
Yeah, okay.
Like most in history, you'll see that most great things that are new, people mock them initially before they...
Most geniuses misunderstood.
Yes.
Is that what you were trying to go
that's
for?
That's what I am.
Okay, all right, let's get to our first question. Jacob Mattson writes in. He says, I haven't heard or seen much about Dante Hightower. How has he been looking so far?
I wouldn't say he's flashed a lot in the preseason, but I'm intrigued by what I've seen. Moving around a little bit, he played some middle linebacker on the outside. And just what he's talking about has me more excited than what I've seen. Like I said, he didn't jump off the practice field or the preseason field, but he's talked a lot about being more comfortable, and he knows what he's doing, and he can just let his athleticism take over, his versatility take over. And he said point blank that he expects himself to play a lot better this season. If he expects it, I expect it.
Did he use the word point blank?
No, I said point blank. I got that from Vince Wilfork, actually.
You
know,
right.
I've been in that locker room so much, it just takes over the brain.
All right, Charlie Ball writes in, and he wants to know, what's the chances of bringing back Richard Seymour?
Oh, I don't think there's much of a chance of that. I was laughing at Charlie Ball. I thought it said, I'm just reading, it says Chuck.
That's all right.
He just calls him Charlie. I don't think Seymour's going to be back, though, guys. I don't think it really ended well. I think, listen, he was one of my favorite all-time Patriots. I'll state that. I'd love to see him back. I don't think, number one, he wants to be a guy that wants to play for the veteran minimum. I think that's why he's still out there in the first place. And I also don't think the Patriots necessarily looking to have him back. I think he was one of those strong-willed guys that wasn't always sort of open to coaching and all that different stuff away from the field. So I don't think either way it makes a lot of sense. Although, Patriots are a little thin at the defensive line.
All right. Well, remember, every week, send your questions to AskPFW at Patriots.com.